From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where we deal with issues around mental health from a holistic perspective, and we all know that the truth will set you free. The question is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And that's the focus of this show. Telling the truth faster, allowing yourself to free yourself up of the fears, the stresses involved with withholding your honest expression of your emotions, whether it's anger or fear or even love and joy, whether it is thoughts and beliefs that you think people are going to disagree with you, so you keep them inside, which holds you back, holds me back when I do it also, from tremendous possibilities in our lifetimes. So this is a show, hopefully, that if you're listening in and what we're talking about touches you in some way or challenges you in some way, angers you in some way, or relates to you in some way, feel free to call in. This is a live call-in show tonight. And the number in the Phoenix area locally is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311, 1311. If you're listening via the internet, there's a toll-free number to call from anywhere else in the country, and that's 1-888-437-7660. I don't have a guest on tonight, but my topic is burnout. How stress, overextending ourselves, and overwork can lead to things like ill health, addictions, and problems in our relationships. And we're going to be talking about what we can do about correcting this once we identify that this is a problem. Now, you know, very often the topics I pick are relevant to something going on, current events, or something that I relate to in my own life. And telling the truth faster, here I am, Mr. Holistic, and about 3 weeks ago I was diagnosed with a duodenal ulcer. Ha! You know, doubled over in pain for a few days. I knew what was happening at that point, and it was truly embarrassing, and you have to have a sense of humor about these things, okay? So I had to start taking a look at, what have I not been dealing with? What have I been doing that has, you know, ulcers just don't appear. These are things that, you know, develop over time, and usually it's stress-related, although they found H. pylori virus as the cause of many ulcers, but it's activated, I believe, in terms of body-mind connection by tremendous stress. Okay, so here I am. Thank God for Prevacid. And to me, again, you know, whether you're holistic, whether you believe in metaphysical approaches to things as I do, I believe that spirit or God or whatever you want to call it helped create medications that are tremendously helpful too, and it doesn't have to be an either-or thing. So in addition to the Prevacid, which certainly eased up the symptoms quite a bit, I then had to take an honest look at my life again and see what commitments I've made that have been extremely stressful, what things I was doing, what people are in my life that maybe it's time to take inventory on and either clean up some relationships or let go of some relationships in my life. And so for the last couple of weeks, that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been taking a look at the stressors, the ones that are unnecessary stressors, where I've overcommitted or overextended, and why have I done that, and what are the payoffs I've been getting, or obviously the ulcer is one of them, and what can I do about it? So in a sense, There have been a couple of relationships that were very one way that seemed to be demanding more of me than anything coming back. And so I've cleaned up a couple of those in terms of expressing that to them. And if things don't change, they know that there is an importance of saying goodbye without judging, but just saying, like, this does not serve me anymore. And then there was a major commitment to a board of directors for the Lesbian and Gay Psychotherapists Association of Southern California, which I've been on the board for 6 years and co-president for 5 years. And I realized that it was a heavy weight, something I enjoyed in many ways and felt very satisfied in terms of the progress the organization's made. But it, when I make a commitment to something, I usually take it on to a great extent, and unfortunately there are only 5 board members this year instead of the 16 that the bylaws call for, so it's been a lot of work for just a few people. So I've since resigned from that, and lo and behold, when I did that, 12 people showed up, or actually more than that, a full complement of 16, 8 men and 8 women showed up to say we're willing to be on the board, and all of a sudden from 5 the next year, the board expanded to a full 18, and it was a relief, actually, to know that all the hard work of the boards of the last few years is going to pay off because of where the organization can go, but it's no longer my worry. They have my support, but it's no longer my responsibility or worry, and I can't believe how much lighter the last 2 weeks have been since I've made that decision. And again, that's not to say something as stressful as that wasn't extremely satisfying in certain ways, but it had gotten out of balance, and I had, and I take responsibility, I had let it get out of balance in terms of what I'd taken on, in terms of all the other things. My private practice, you know, has suffered in certain ways, and my caseload's been down, which then leads to financial stresses and other things that go on. You know, so there is this domino effect, and all of it then creates additional stress, and a lot of the symptoms that we're going to talk about, that I'm going to talk about, and hopefully some callers will contribute to it, about how overextending and stress leads to burnout and what burnout is. Well, there is a woman named Dr. Beverly Potter who wrote a book, Beating Job Burnout: How to Transform Work Pressure into Productivity. And it's a book that was copyrighted in 1993. And some of the material I got off the internet, God bless it, is something you can look up by doing a search on Dr. Beverly Potter and get some of these materials also. But she had one printout called Common Signs of Burnout. And we're going to go through that and talk about it. And remember I said, you know, it's amazing how timely things are. As soon as I diagnosed with the ulcer, I was going through some files and I came across a workshop I actually presented in 1999 called Self-Care for Therapists. How's that for irony? Self-Care for Therapists, and I was the one presenting it and teaching other therapists how to keep themselves balanced and how to deal with what's called compassion fatigue, and what to do about it. And so all these papers came back to me when I needed them. And then today, actually Monday in the LA Times Health section, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in a while, there's one article called How Stress Weakens Immunity. And then there was another article in the same section dealing with the bad boss as a health hazard. In other words, what impact does it have when you're working in an organization or have a supervisor or a boss that really makes being at your job miserable? And what do you do with those emotions, and how does it usually impact people? So we're going to talk about all those things. And then, as one of those synchronistic things, I picked up the newsletter for an organization of people with HIV and AIDS here in Los Angeles called Being Alive, and one of the articles lists 36 ways to reduce stress. And it's a list I've seen before and actually have used before. So again, when you're ready and when you're open, it's amazing the teachers and the things that start showing up for you. So, common signs of burnout, according to Dr. Beverly Potter. Number one, negative emotions, she says. It's normal to feel frustrated, angry, and depressed, dissatisfied, or anxious occasionally. But if you're caught in the burnout cycle, you usually will experience these negative emotions more and more often until they become chronic. Eventually, you will feel emotional fatigue. Think of those words, emotional fatigue. It's that you're in those emotions so much that it's draining you, and the fatigue becomes something physical. And the emotions themselves become something overwhelming. Now, she says frustrated, angry, depressed, dissatisfied, anxious. Depression, to me, is a place we go to kind of numb all those other feelings. And I've said that many times before. So to me, depression could be an end result that comes as a result of all these other things creating this massive shutdown, this numbing. So all these negative emotions really create this sense of emotional fatigue. And we're going to talk about the other common signs of burnout when we come back after this break, and hopefully we'll have some callers that will share in this discussion today or answer or bring up any other questions they might want to. So stay tuned for more Tell the Truth Faster after these words. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is burnout, or how stress, overextending ourselves, and overwork can lead to ill health, addictions, and problems with relationships. And we're going to talk a little bit later about what we can do about preventing burnout and healing the burnout symptoms. The first thing we talked about in terms of common signs of burnout, which is a list from Dr. Beverly Potter, was negative emotions and the concept of emotional fatigue. Now, with the emotional fatigue, very often starts developing problems in interpersonal relationships, and that may be at home or at work or even standing online at the bank and being short-tempered with someone in front of you or behind you, with service people or whatever. And when you feel emotionally drained, she says, it becomes harder to deal with people at home and at work. When the inevitable conflicts arise, you're likely to overreact with an emotional outburst or intense hostility. This makes communicating with coworkers, friends, and family members increasingly difficult. Some burnout victims are also apt to withdraw socially. The tendency to withdraw is most pronounced among helping professionals, who become aloof and inaccessible to the very people they are expected to help. Now, that's something I can truly relate to, and it's something I'm always cautioning other therapists about, which is this, what I said earlier, is like compassion fatigue. And I know I went through that, especially in the 90s, dealing with all the friends and people close to me that had AIDS that were dying, like, weekly. And that I found myself withdrawn into spending as much time alone as I could, and usually numbing into the TV, food, sex, whatever, anything that could give me a break from the overstimulation, the over worked sense of caregiving. You don't have to be a therapist to get into compassion fatigue, because there are a lot of you listening that you know, come from a very soul place and a very heart space where you are constantly the type of person that's doing for others and caring for others. And it may be because you're a parent and you have a family to focus on, so you don't take the time for your own well-being, your health, your mental health, your sense of things that give you a break from the heartfelt commitments that you're doing. And that's what I mean by compassion fatigue. In other words, your heart is really moved to do what you're doing. Okay? But it's at such a pace and at such a level that you lose sight of what you need also. And maybe people start taking you for granted, as I know people in my life do, and as I do with other people sometimes. And so it's hard for you to ask what you need. It's hard for you to ask for the space that you need, or the break when you need it. And sometimes it's very difficult. If you're caring for an elderly parent or a loved one that's dealing with life-threatening illness, it's hard to ask for a break. And yet that's exactly what you need to be able to do. I need a break. Can someone come over and sit with this person? Or I need a break. I'm going to go take a day for myself, even if it's just a few hours, but whenever you can, even in the context of being a parent and raising kids and having a spouse, or just being in a relationship, whether it's gay or straight, or that there are times that it's healthy to say, I need a day to myself. I need to go walk on the beach. I need to go walking in the mountains. I need to go shopping and walk through a mall. Something that is purely for you. Otherwise, these interpersonal relationships, I mean, we just heard, I think it was in Mississippi today, where a worker went in with a shotgun and killed 6 people again. We heard yesterday, I think it was in New Jersey, that this 18-year-old and his brother were arrested and they were planning another Columbine at their school. This is the buildup of stress and rage and anger that causes burnout, which makes it impossible to access any healthy coping mechanisms. So people tend to go to extremes in their reactions or in their plans to either get even or to break the dam that is holding back the anger, the rage, the sadness, all those sort of feelings. And so people go to extremes when they're burnt out. And even kids that are being bullied in school, they burn out too. Don't think a 6-year-old can't burn out on being abused by their peers. Don't think a child can't burn out when mom or dad are constantly abusive. Don't think a child can't burn out when mom or dad are drinking and constantly drunk and not available. Burnout happens to children too. Everyone has a breaking point. And burnout is a place that we go to protect ourselves. Or when we're burnout, we tend to go into those self-protective modes of depression or isolation. And how many of you may have been that kind of child or know a child that hides out in their room all the time, or they're off playing by themselves? They just don't feel safe around other adults or around other kids. These are kids very often that are burnt out on having to cope with things they shouldn't have to be coping with. Okay, think about that. It may be something you relate to personally and remember from your own childhood, or it may be something you see in a child around you, maybe one of your own children, and maybe it's time to address these things. Now, another common sign of burnout, and this is a very important one, is health problems, and that's what started me on this thing today, which has to do with my duodenal ulcer. Now, thank God the preface had just, within 24 hours, the pain was gone, but it doesn't mean the things that caused it were gone until I started taking action. And even doing the show tonight is a way I'm taking action, because by talking about it, by being honest about it, by telling the truth faster about it, I'm reinforcing my own commitment to the change process. I'm reinforcing my own sense of consciousness to how important staying conscious of these symptoms and the problems that created them in my own life were by talking about it, and I do it. I've even said to some clients, that 2 weeks ago when I had to reschedule some sessions because of this, I just said to them honestly when I phone next time, I said, Mr. Holistic here has an ulcer. And, to me, it's important that my clients see me as a human being. And sometimes I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. And sometimes, like anyone else, when you're in that burnout mode, when you're overextended, when I'm overextended, sometimes the decisions and the choices I make are not always in integrity or not always appropriate. And it's harder to. I mean, even look at someone, I mean, as much as I respect President Clinton, I know not all of you do, but I do tremendously. He let whatever stresses were there to make some very bad decisions in terms of his sexual behavior, which then sent this entire country and his own life and his presidency into a tailspin. To me, that's a sex addiction issue. The same way someone else may be drinking because that's the way they're coping with their burnout or their stresses or whatever because they're an alcoholic and that's what alcoholics do. Or they're a drug addict and that's what drug addicts do. Or they're a sex addict and that's what sex addicts do. Or it's food or work. That's what addicts do rather than deal with the emotions in a healthy way because they may not yet have the tools or the consciousness or have the ability to own up to their own sense of maybe inadequacy, at least what they think is inadequacy. Someone else looking at them may think they're incredible people doing amazing things, but the self-esteem issues are so embedded that they just see themselves as inadequate. And one way to numb that, and one way to deal with the fatigue of hiding that, and that's another thing we that creates burnout, is when we're not being honest with ourselves first about how we perceive ourselves, then it intensifies the ability to burn out because it consumes so much energy to wear that mask and keep the mask you want others to see when behind it you don't believe that it's that wonderful person mask that you're wearing. Remember the show I did a few weeks ago on the mask we wear with Marla Sloan, who's writing a book on that. Okay, so we all wear masks. So sometimes addicts, you know, that's their coping mechanism. It's not a good one. It's a destructive one. It's one that always, always will lead to additional problems, health problems as well as relationship problems. You know, again, we're dealing with the symptoms of burnout. And for addicts, the symptoms of burnout and high levels of stress is usually either a relapse or an intensification of their usage until they learn the tools and techniques to do otherwise. Okay? So, addictions is certainly one, you know, to cope with the stress associated with job conflict and declining performance, you know, or relationship issues, people, like I said, will find themselves drinking more alcohol, using more drugs, eating more or less, drinking more coffee or smoking more cigarettes, and an increased substance abuse further compounds the problems. Now, getting back to the health problems, not just the ulcer, heart attacks, migraine headaches, back problems, the body can maintain just so much stress. We can keep the barriers going. We can swallow down the emotions just so far, but the body sooner or later is going to speak to you. 3 weeks ago, my body spoke to me with me being doubled over in pain with this ulcer. And it spoke very loudly because I wasn't listening to the warning signs weeks, months, and years earlier. Okay? That was me not being honest with myself. And what are you doing or not doing? What's going on in your life where you're not paying attention to it? And what impact is it having? And we're going to come back and talk more about that after this break. So stay tuned. This is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and this is a live call-in show. So if any of you are so stressed out hearing what we're talking about tonight with burnout, how stress, overextending, and overwork can lead to ill health, addictions, and problems in relationships, please feel free to call in. If you're in Phoenix, it's 480-874-1311. And if you're listening on the internet, it's toll-free 1-888-437-7660. I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier today who told me that his wife had said to him, in the 6 years she's known him, she's never known him to be happy. And he also said to me before that that, you know, if things aren't finally together by the time he's 40 and he's 32, then he'll think about getting some therapy and getting some help. And my response to him was, why miss out on the next 8 years? Why not start working on this now and maybe enhance the time you're spending with your wife and in your own life and making some career decisions and choices that are really going to make you feel a lot better about yourself? And he also said something very interesting, and it's something that I have actually said the opposite about. He said that, well, in a sense I agree with it, but it's not, to me, where we all need to get. He said men identify with their jobs, women identify with their relationships. And to me, we are not what we do. Who we are is not about what we do. And if the only thing you have to identify with is your career, then there's a whole aspect of who you are that you're not bringing into the fore, that you're more than what you do. You're more than, it's just like with Friends with AIDS all those years that I've been working with that, people identify so much with HIV and AIDS that all of a sudden who they are is HIV, who they are is AIDS. And they forget that there's so much more to them. And even with addict friends of mine, all of a sudden who they are is their addiction. And who they are is their recovery. And they forget that in recovery, the whole point of recovery is identifying and integrating back into your life, or maybe for some of them the first time, a whole range of what they're here to do in this world and how to express it and how to fulfill their dreams and not hold themselves back from it, not let the addictions hold themselves back or the negative beliefs they have about themselves hold themselves back. So to me, it's very important to get past that who I am is what I do or who I am is the disease I have and know that a part of who you are is what you do. A part of who you are may be a disease that you carry, but that's not your total identity. Who you are is a human being. Who you are is something beyond what people can even see in a physical form. It's the same thing I say, you are not your body. You know, these people you see in the gyms that are, their goal in life is to have the perfect body. That's all they're identifying as in many ways. They become their body. And the body represents perfection or imperfection, and the truth is they never achieve perfection. Never. They could become Mr. Universe or Mrs. Universe and win those competitions, and yet they're not done because the body's still not perfect in their eyes. It becomes an obsession. They identify as who I am as this body. And to me, the whole point of the show is to help people go beyond those beliefs. Who I am is a loving individual, someone who loves and deserves to be loved, and who I am is a caring person who's here to be of service to make this world a better place. And how I choose to do that may be about my career, may be about how I serve in 12 steps, you know, community, may be the volunteer work that I do, may be just the positive attitude I walk through life and the smile I have on my face, which emits an energy that brightens up other people's day while making my day even feel better. And I think this is a very important thing, and it has to, definitely gets back to burnout. Okay? How we identify is part of what intensifies the stress in our lives. So, when we're getting back to the common signs of burnout, I was talking about health problems and relating it to my own ulcer, and there was an article, as I said earlier, on Monday, July 7th in the LA Times in the health section, and the title is How Stress Weakens Immunity, and the writer of the article is Jane E. Allen, a Times staff writer. And She writes, researchers have identified a mechanism by which chronic stress weakens the immune system, putting people at greater risk of disease and possibly premature aging. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, stress can weaken the immunity, and a weakened immune system can create premature aging. So we live in a society, again, that is such youth-oriented, even though us baby boomers are really becoming the majority, that the stress, weakened immune system, premature aging. And they talk about the interleukin 6. Research has found that these caregivers, people who are caring on, with the stress of caring for like Alzheimer's loved ones, research has found that these caregivers have unusually high levels of a protein in the body called interleukin 6 or IL-6, which normally triggers inflammation to help fight infections. High levels of IL-6 are associated with cardiovascular disease, depression, osteoporosis, arthritis, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers. Age alone raises levels of IL-6, but stress makes those levels rise even higher. One potential effect of prolonged high levels of IL-6 is a permanently aged immune response. In other words, your immune system ages so much faster because of the stress plus aging intensifies the levels of IL-6. Now, she goes on to write that this likely occurs not just among caregivers, she said, but also among people who have experienced chronic severe stress for several years. Caregivers, like therapists or people taking care of, loved ones who are sick, or doctors, nurses, whatever, caregivers had a 63% higher mortality rate during the study period than did non-caregivers. Think about that. How stress weakens the immunity system, the immune system. Premature aging, fatigue. So, again, all of this is about burnout. Everything I'm talking about tonight is getting back to a personal responsibility we have of being honest about what the dynamics are in our lives, what's working and what's not working, and having the courage to ask for help, to be able to be adult enough and strong enough to say there are certain tools I was not taught. By my parents, by schools, by, religious places I grew up in or whatever, there were just certain tools that I wasn't taught. Or they tried to teach me and I just wasn't receptive, and now I need that course. And to me, that's what therapy is about. It's about taking the course that you missed somehow growing up. Or maybe it's a refresher course. Maybe it's just being reminded about some of the tools and things that you do have already. So think about that for a while. Therapy is the next course you take. Maybe it's finishing high school. For some of you, maybe it's a few more credits towards college graduation. Maybe it's an advanced postdoctorate type of course. However you want to do it, it doesn't matter what level of schooling you have achieved. Therapy and this internal work is just signing up for another course. And it's one that is really meant to challenge you. It's meant to be difficult. It's meant to make you feel uncomfortable so that you can clean out that stuff and not have to have your body develop an ulcer. There are a lot of therapists. I've been in and out of therapy a lot in the course of my lifetime. I've done workshops. I do breath work. I do all sorts of things. But there are a lot of therapists that won't turn to other therapists for help. It's too, to them, embarrassing, which is why there is a higher level of stress and burnout and illness or suicide or whatever you want to say amongst caregivers, amongst therapists who, to a certain extent, are not willing to reach out and say, I need help too. Even if you're not a therapist, no matter who you are, what you are, it is important to be able to reach out to others. And if it's too embarrassing, then you find a therapist. You don't need to let anyone know you're seeing somebody, but it's your space, it's your time, it's that hour or 2 hour a week that is all yours. Now, we're going to come back after this break and talk about ways you can reduce stress. We're going to go to the solutions before we end the show tonight, so stay tuned. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back.
The rainbow waves up high.
Welcome back to our closing segment tonight of Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I've been talking tonight about burnout, how stress, overextending ourselves, overworking, can lead to ill health, addictions, and problems in our relationships. Now we're going to talk about what we can do about it. One of the things I've already talked about extensively tonight and on all other nights is very few of us can do this stuff alone. We wouldn't be having these problems if we were able to heal them by ourselves. Our lives wouldn't be the mess that they've turned into, and our relationships wouldn't be at the level that they are, knowing it could be so much better if we could heal this stuff by ourselves. So very clearly, finding a good therapist that you really relate to, one that doesn't let you get away with rationalizing and justifying everything, someone who doesn't just nod their heads and tell you when time's up, but somebody who's engaged in the process, and at least this is my bias, somebody who's engaged in that hour-long process or however long the clock goes, you know, when you schedule a session, someone who's engaged, someone that you're feeling you're having a give and take with, someone who's willing to tell you the truth faster when they're seeing it, to let you check out what their observations and intuitive things are saying. That's how I work. Okay? So now, in addition to finding a good therapist, I'm going to go through some of these things from the Being Alive newsletter under 36 Ways to Reduce Stress. Now, again, you may have heard this list before because I've seen it on the Internet. I've seen this for years. Number one, pray. That means, however you define a higher power, a sense of spirituality, God, doesn't even have to be about a particular religion, but that you have this sense of space where you go inside and you're speaking to a higher power. And some people do that through nature, some people do that through exercise. Swimming for me does that also, meditation, all that sort of stuff, okay? But one thing is very important is some kind of internal dialogue with a higher power. Number two, go to bed on time. Get enough sleep, okay? And I'm going to say something else. It's since 9/11, I have very rarely watched the 11 o'clock news. Now, I know there are a lot of people in the media industry that would say, what do you mean? I mean, that's when people are supposed to be watching. It's not the best thing to try and go to sleep after watching. I'm sorry. I watched something off HBO or something last night, which is a movie I've always avoided watching, which is Hannibal, the Hannibal Lecter, you know, sequel and stuff, Silence of the Lambs. And I knew I didn't want to watch it. It was so disturbing and stuff. It wasn't the thing to watch at night before going to sleep. Pick movies that are going to be enhancing, that are going to make you laugh. Laugh, 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 okay? Make you think, move you emotionally, and I'm not talking about terror, okay? And stop watching the 11 o'clock news. There's very rarely anything positive and worth going to sleep on that you're going to see, that you're not going to hear throughout the entire day the next day. I haven't already been hearing about it. It's just repetition of the same stuff, okay? So get up on time so you can start the day unrushed. Number four, say no to projects that won't fit into your time schedule or that will compromise your mental health. I'm going to read that one again because that's one that I wasn't paying attention to. Say no to projects that won't fit into your time schedule or that will compromise your mental health. Set boundaries. No one's responsible for setting boundaries but you. Five, delegate tasks to capable others. You don't have to do everything. I don't have to do everything. There are people that are willing to support me if I'll only ask. Simplify and unclutter your life. Like I said earlier, there are certain relationships that I've cleaned out. And there literally have been things in my office that I've been throwing out and closets that I've been cleaning out. Number seven, less is more. Okay? Number eight, allow extra time to do things and to get to places so you're not rushed. I mean, I live in L.A., so you always have to keep that in consideration because you never know where there's going to be a traffic jam or whatever. And if you're in the car and aren't a traffic jam, have tapes that are inspiring to listen to or music that is going to be soothing. And again, I have minimized the amount of news that I listen to on the radio because what are they doing? They're repeating the same stories every 20 minutes. So to leave that news on over and over again, you're hearing the same thing. And if you're in the car for a few hours, it's being reinforced and reinforced. So if you want to get the news, you listen to it for 20 minutes, put on a CD or listening to some music or talk radio, obviously, my own bias. Pace yourself. Spread out big changes and difficult projects over time. Don't lump the hard things all together. Okay? Get some easier things done along with the harder things so you feel a sense of momentum going and a sense of completion and satisfaction. So if you're still working on some of the harder things, you have a few easier things as successes along the way that keep you going. And this 12-step program say take one day at a time. One day at a time. Number 11, separate worries from concerns. If a situation is a concern, find out what God would have you do and let go of the anxiety. If you can't do anything about a situation, forget it. Okay, or turn it over to somebody else or ask for some help with it. Number 12, live within your budget. Don't use credit cards for ordinary purchases. I need to remember that one too. Live within your budget. 13, have backups. Like, how many of you are forgetful? Have an extra car key in your wallet, an extra house key buried in the garden, extra stamps somewhere so that you're not stressing to get to the post office to get something in the mail and end up waiting online for an hour just to buy three stamps. Number 14, this list says KMS, which means keep mouth shut. The single piece of advice can prevent an enormous amount of trouble. 15, do something for the kid in you every day. 16, carry a meditation book with you to read while you're waiting in line somewhere. 17, get enough exercise. 18, eat right. If you're seeing yourself binge on sugar and carbs and not getting enough protein, something's off. Stress is usually demanding more of the sugar and carbs. 19, get organized so everything has its place. 20, listen to a tape while driving that can help improve the quality of your life. I said before, 21, write your thoughts and inspirations down. You have ideas all the time. And then you said, God, there was something I had a great idea about earlier today and I forgot what it was. And it may be something that will end up making you $1 million. Keep these notes. All of a sudden, they may all coalesce into something that is a bigger picture. Number 22, every day find time to be alone, whether it's 20 minutes of meditating at some point or just going for a walk. 23, having problems, talk to God on the spot. Try to nip small problems in the bud. Don't wait until it's time to go to bed to try and pray. Make friends with conscious, spiritual people. 25, keep a folder of favorite affirmations on hand. 26, remember that the shortest bridge between despair and hope is often a good thank you, God. 27 and 28 is about laughter. 29, take your work seriously, but yourself not at all. Stop taking yourself so seriously. And stop taking your work home. 30, develop a forgiving attitude. To me, this is one of the most important things on this list. Develop a forgiving attitude. most people are doing the best they can. Even mom and dad did. 31, be kind to unkind people. They probably need it the most. Be kind to unkind people. Number 32, sit on your ego. 33, talk less and listen more. 34, slow down. 35, remind yourself that you are not the general manager of the universe. 36, every night before bed, think of one thing you're grateful for that you've never been grateful for before. Okay, now that I'm burnout on burnout, thank you for listening tonight. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tune in next week. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can go to TellTheTruthFaster.com. You can listen to archived shows for the last year and a half. And if you want to get on my email list, you know which week, from week to week, what the topic is going to be. I can send you out that announcement with everyone else's. So thanks for listening, and take care of yourself.
That I heard of once.